Nick, what is it about the brain that allows it to be controlled so with all these different techniques?
Well, essentially, the brain can be influenced by external means. You know, we always think about, you know, chemicals, and this is where the MKUltra project's got all its notoriety from the LSD and the hallucinogenics that they were messing around with and using mainly on American servicemen and women, which is the saddest story in all of this, because, you know, these folks can't go to their congressman like you and I can and issue complaints. For that, you get in, you know, you don't have that privilege in the military. And so, you know, again, you know, who are the victims of this kind of technology? They tend to be the people that are the least able to control the outcomes in their lives. Military become often that case. When you look at sort of where does it go and how can you do this, again, several different methods. And let's kind of go through a couple of these. We talked about this idea of entraining the brain or making the brain mirror an external signal. What they found, and this is what Persinger was saying on the Undercurrent segment, he was saying, look, you can, you know, modulate a signal that creates these various brain states where the brain will lock onto that very faint signal, but it's in this range where the brain understands it. The brain begins to mirror it, begins to copy it, to mimic that signal. As soon as it does that, it creates a chemical cascade. All the chemical reactions that normally go along with those brain states began to manifest, and you're there, whether it's highly agitated or stressed. Because we're not talking in this instance of voice transfer. Mm-hmm. We're talking about changing the general condition of the person in terms of their mental state, and the brain being the guidance system for the entire body, you then have that effect. So you're affecting people emotionally. You also can affect them physically by physically altering what happens within the brain that controls various functions of the body. On a more gross level, using pulsed microwave systems, you can actually create such confusion that you can't think clearly, you can't focus, you can't draw your attention to the things that you need to draw your attention to. And again, for weapons applications, you know, we can all kind of see that. You know, there was a Scottish media report that came out after the first Gulf War from Bush Sr., and after that was over with, there was this article that said, hey, you know, what they used out there was a technology where they embedded signals on the radio broadcast going into the battlefield that broadcast the Muslim music and prayers that all of our adversaries were listening to every day.
Mm-hmm.
And on those signals, we carried in one that would create this agitated, fear, panic kind of sense. And what did we see? You know, we saw the fourth largest army in the world collapse like kids on their first fire drill in an elementary school. You know, and the reality is, when you consider that, you know, would these technologies be used again? And, you know, we just before the break, we were talking about the Iraq situation. To pacify a population, would they utilize this there? And my answer is absolutely yes. In fact, I would suspect that what we'll see in the coming months, as things get worse and deteriorate, that new technologies will be introduced and openly talked about as being good for regaining stability in these regions of the world. The thing that is missing in all of this, again, is the open discussion about what do these systems do, how do they work. The idea of that Persinger and others have mentioned, in fact, one of the real interesting guys on the Undercurrent segment was a guy named Smirnov out of the Psychocorrection Institute in the Soviet Union, or what it used to be, and now it's associated with the Russian Academy of Sciences.
He's not the vodka Smirnov.
No. And this guy developed a technique where he could actually embed signals on radio broadcasts or on white noise, carry it up through any of the systems within, you know, our modern technological world, and carry a signal in that would affect people. And he demonstrated on this video segment and talked about the idea of being able to do this for creating like a signal that went up to the ground floors and the upper floors of this building they were working in, giving everyone the suggestion to bring them cake. And the deal was, you know, in Russia this is something traditionally done, you know, when you have tea, you have these little cakes or cookies, and so it's not something so unusual. But by the end of a 24-hour period, they had workmen on the street, they had coworkers in the offices above, all bringing them cake on a signal that nobody
consciously
could hear.
That is amazing. You know, you just said white noise, and it reminds me of the Michael Keaton movie about the EVPs, the electronic voice phenomena from ghosts.
Yeah.
Is it possible that some of these recordings that people are picking up when they go do their ghost hunting might be transmissions from some of these very bizarre sources, not ghosts?
Could be. I'm a pretty open-minded about all of this, because I think there's, you know, what we don't understand today is our lack of understanding of the scientific principles behind it. And I think when you talk about perceiving, you know, things from other realities, you know, is it possible? I think there's enough evidence out there anecdotally to say, hey, something's going on. Let's figure out what it is. The idea of electromagnetic fields being able or possible to trigger these kinds of things, are being used, you know, could you pick up a signal of, you know, someone that's disembodied? I don't know the answer to that. I think it's an interesting question. I think that that's one that maybe technology will develop. You know, when you go back to Edison's day, he was very interested in this. You know, Edison and all the guys back in that era, that was the middle of the greatest inventions in the world. You know, Tesla was doing his work, Edison was doing his work, they were fighting with each other. But all these ideas were openly discussed, they weren't ridiculed, and they were considered valid science of the day. And, you know, seeing film come out today, fictionalized film, taking some of those ideas, you know, a lot of fiction film is developed by based on scientific principles. That's what makes it interesting, that's what makes it good. We've consulted for filmmakers in the past where they wanted just an understanding of what technology would look like visually so that they could, you know, depict it properly in film. So, you know, a lot of this stuff gets to the, you know, crosses to the edge, but I can tell you this, creativity all flows from the same place. Some of it manifests in film and some of it in invention, but ultimately, I would say with some level of confidence that just about anything that a human being can conceive, you can pretty much create. If you're, you know, dogmatic in your approach to getting it done. These technologies and the understanding of the human brain and how to affect the brain has been central to many people's research for both positive applications and military applications, because ultimately, I mean, some of the darker side of the things that we've talked about, you know, the idea of creating illusions, the idea of creating images that are so real you think they're real. What does that do to the rules of evidence in court proceedings in 30 years? You know, what does that do to other things where we rely on people's word and what they saw or thought they saw as evidentiary?
You're going to have different court reporters, that's for sure.
Well, we have to have a whole different understanding of how to create proofs that are absolute. And again, this is where people start to get very concerned. You know, not only the idea of should we even be doing this? I mean, from my perspective, the answer is, from an external perspective, no. You know, if you were an individual saying, hey, I've got things that I want to do with my own brain to enhance my performance or to get rid of certain problems or what have you, that's a whole different matter. But it would be almost the same, in fact, it is the same, as the initiatives that are being put forward today about drugging major populations in terms of young children with Ritalin. You know, I mean, we see that today. Is that mind control? Sure it is.
Absolutely.